This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chance to talk a lot of NFL today, so we thought we'd reach out to one of my absolute favorite sports people in this whole wide world, former Pac-12 network man, now NFL network, and more importantly, award-winning author of Fried Rice and Marinara, 4.9 out of 5 stars on Amazon, the Yammer, Mike Yam. What's going on?
First of all, awesome introduction, man. I always appreciate you and having me on the show, man. I appreciate you mentioned in the book, man. Certainly a huge passion project and have been very, very fortunate on that side. So any young readers out there, or at least parents of young readers, go and check out the book. I appreciate you.
I am an owner, although I have gifted it. We were going to a birthday party of a young person of a mixed race. And if you don't know, that's obviously the inception of Fried Rice and Marinara is you being a mixed race child and how that can, you know, cause some challenges and identity and all that. So I bought your book, Fried Rice and Marinara, and we gave it to a nice little 5-year-old friend of ours for a birthday present.
Oh, dude, man, that seriously is so awesome. I can't thank you enough, man. That is such an awesome story.
Well, that hits home for me. It really does, because, like, I mean, I am about as white as it gets. I look like an insurrectionist and a Viking and of pure Scandinavian descent. And then my kids are Korean. So I understand what that's like. My son, who is just so precious to me, my son looks nothing like me. He's a small Korean man who's now, 21. And his whole life, when we go places, people ask, are you adopted? Or when he introduces, yeah, hey, this is your dad. And we kind of laugh it off. But at the same time, it's a thing that not everyone understands, and I thought the book did a great job of addressing that. I'm a big fan, which is why I wanted to make sure that I gave that plug. If anyone is interested, again, you can find it at Barnes & Noble, all that. I think it's a really, really, it's a neat story for young kids that, for anyone, but especially of mixed race variety.
I appreciate you, man. Honestly, that means a ton, especially when you kind of attach it to that story, because you're right. It is, you can have those moments, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you have to answer those questions pretty consistently, over time, it's like, damn, man. Like, but it's a real thing.
It's a real thing, and I know people don't necessarily mean it to be a slight or mean, but sometimes just think about it before you open your mouth with, "Hey, you look nothing like your dad or nothing like your mom." Like, maybe just leave that one. Leave that one in the hip pocket.
Agreed.
I did want to talk about the NFL draft, and obviously, sure, so much, quarterback, receiver, offensive tackle. Like, I have not heard a single thing about defensive players in this draft. In fact, I've seen a lot of mocks where we may not get a defensive player off the board until 11 or 12. In fact, I don't think we've ever had a draft where we haven't gotten, I think maybe 8 is the latest we've had a defensive player. Are we going to break that this year?
It's kind of fascinating that you bring that up, because there's no question that there is such a heavy emphasis on some of these offensive players, especially with the quarterbacks. Look, every single year we cover the NFL draft, it's quarterbacks that are going to be all the rage. And specifically this year's class it's a good one. But then to take it a step further, it just so happens that this year wide receivers and offensive linemen, specifically the tackles, are a really strong group. The wide receiver group, I think, is as deep as we've seen in recent years. And I think because of that, some of the other positions have taken a little bit of a back seat. Now, I do think there are some guys that certainly have the ability to be first round picks. We're definitely going to see, look, you get edge players that can get after the quarterback. Latu from UCLA, who obviously, you know, us on the West Coast, we've probably seen a little bit more of him. Dallas Turner certainly comes to mind, the kid from Alabama. Florida State obviously had a really talented edge player in Jared Verse. Or for those who don't, you know, obviously aren't as maybe familiar with his game, Chop Robinson is another player who I think from an athletic standpoint tested really well at the combine. I don't think Robinson necessarily is a lock for the first round, but he's one of those fringe guys that we could see. So those are definitely a couple names, at least in terms of the players up front. Peyton Wilson, I thought, had a really nice combine as well, one of those linebackers. Quinion Mitchell, corner from Toledo. He's another guy who I think depending on which circles you're gravitating towards, there's a lot of buzz in a lot of different NFL circles about his potential. Terrion Arnold, another guy. So there's some talented defensive players, but Suk, I think to your point, we're focusing so much of our attention on which quarterbacks are going to go off the board. And because there's been movement, whether it's a JJ McCarthy, for example, or all these teams like the Broncos, I'll throw, you know, the Vikings into the mix. The Giants, I think, want to move up. The Raiders could use a quarterback. I think it becomes this game of musical chairs, which has grabbed more of the national narrative.
Yeah. And then you mentioned, you know, the wide receivers, and, you know, I'm not trying to doubt Marvin Harrison Jr. Great player. Sure. Great player. I don't love that he didn't do anything. I don't love that he didn't want to test, didn't have a pro day. And when you look at some of the other receivers in this draft, and look, Marvin Harrison is a fine, big, physical receiver, but you look at today's NFL, so much of it is the middle of the field. Tight ends, slot receivers, and you look at some of the receivers that have been dominant the last handful of years, they're not necessarily top five players. Am I crazy in thinking that maybe we're making a little too much of Marvin Harrison Jr. because of the name?
So I think name is certainly a reason why we're probably spending a little less attention on what he didn't do during this entire process. You know, Dad obviously had a ton of success. I will say this. I think there's some fatigue as we get closer to the draft. This is, you know, candidly with Marvin specifically, we've talked about him as an NFL player for 2 years.
Yes.
So as you get closer and you have this buildup over a 2 year span, and then over the last 2 or 3 months, it's all right. Well, who were some of these other guys? Who were those other risers? Who else could make a splash in a deep class? Guys are going to have conversations like this. I still think Harrison is the first wide receiver off the board. I don't know if Arizona is going to sit with that fourth pick. In fact, I don't think they will remain at four. I think they trade down because of the market for the quarterbacks. But the reality is anyone, whether it's Harrison, Roma Dunze, or Malik Nabers, I think there's a legit argument for all three of them being studs. Daniel Jeremiah, he's our lead draft analyst at NFL Network. You know, outside of Caleb Williams, 2, 3, and 4 on his big board of his top 50 are Harrison, Rome, and Nabers. So if that goes to show you, like, yo, these guys could play, I don't know what other direction or how else to characterize it, because I really do think all three of those guys are going to be studs, and I do like Harrison. I mean, there was so much wow factor watching him at Ohio State.
Yeah, I look at it, and I'll take Arizona sitting there at 4, and I'm not saying I don't want Marvin Harrison, but if someone wants to give me 2 extra picks, I'm happy to take a Dunze and another 1 and a 3 as opposed to Marvin Harrison, where when I look at the NFL and you go through everything from, you know, let's take the Rams with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp or Tyreek Hill and St. Brown and, you know, Michael Pittman, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs.
Sure.
Like, these aren't top five players. This is the one position I look at in the NFL where I say, I know I can, if I trust my evaluation, I can find good players in every round of the draft, like not just good players, but impact players.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, look, from an Arizona perspective, I think you're right. Chicago is a little different, you know, picking at the top of the draft, but generally speaking, if you have one of those top five, you know, top 10 picks, you didn't have a great season. That's the reality. And a team like Arizona, I throw New England into the mix as well. They're so far off from being a highly competitive football team because of all the holes on their offense, then I'm with you. I think there's a real argument to accumulate more picks, move down in the draft, still have another first rounder, and find more impact players. Now, could you make the argument that Marvin Harrison might have a bigger impact than, you know, the wide receiver that they get, I don't know, in round 2? Sure, you could make that argument. Is that delta big enough to say, hey, maybe I get an offensive tackle that's going to be sitting, you know, on my offensive line for 10 years, plus a really good wide receiver in round number two. Like, I think that's why these GMs are getting paid what they're getting paid to answer those questions.
Yeah, I just love accumulating picks. Unless it's a guy that I – quarterback, I'm a big believer of – I would rather have three high-level quality players than one star if that star isn't a quarterback. I just think when you look around the NFL, with the exception of that position, there's very few guys that – I'm not trying to get into a gambling. There's very few players in the league that move the needle even 1 point as far as a spread. So I think it's the ultimate team sport, minus if you don't have the signal caller, then you don't have anything.
So I'm with you there. Here's the only pushback that I will have, because I agree with your premise wholeheartedly. And look, quarterback is a different beast. Yeah. But I don't know where you what you subscribe to. But there's the school of thought of, you know, the positional the point system, sure, in the draft. Like, hey, you know, this round, this pick is worth this much. Yeah. And some people will say, hey, positional value, you can't draft a guy really high. So prime example, running backs. We're going to talk about these guys for, you know, the last couple of years and now the next few years moving forward about that position being devalued. And yet I saw two of them go in the first round, in Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm. And I know that there were definitely some Lions fans that are like, oh my God, what are we doing? We can't be taking a guy, you know, a running back this early in Jahmyr Gibbs. And I would make the argument that, hey, if you feel so confident in your front office and player evaluation, where you feel like, hey, this is going to be a guy for the next 5 to 6 years who could be a Pro Bowler, why not take him in the first round? So I'm with you. Look, if you're that far from competing, and Detroit was in a different situation, right? Like, the Lions felt like they were ready to compete at a high level. Clearly that was accurate. They were the darlings of last year's offseason, had a great year this past season. But to pick Gibbs 12 overall, I think they were in a unique position to do that. Had this been the Detroit Lions of old, I don't know if, you know, we go down this path using that 12th pick on a running back.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Yam, NFL Network. I couldn't agree more. I think there's a difference between, like what you said, whether you're talking about a team, you mentioned Detroit, or I'm trying to think of another team, that you would put in this category, you know, a team that you feel like you're on the cusp, you know, Cincinnati, if the breaks go right, Jacksonville feels that way. Hey, if the breaks go right, like, yeah, we're not necessarily a championship team right now, but we think we're a contender, versus when I look at, let's say, New England or Washington, sure, you got holes across the board. Like, one player minus a quarterback isn't turning around the Patriots. They're not turning around Washington. I need dudes. And so regardless of who I love outside of a quarterback, for those teams, I need bodies. And so I do think there's a difference in talent acquisition depending on what your roster. That I couldn't agree
totally
with.
Totally. But think about this. Like, when we assess the top 10 right now, so Chicago, Washington, New England, Arizona, Chargers, Giants, Titans, right?
Titans.
At seven.
And
Titans, then Falcons, Bears, and Jets.
Yep.
So, like, that whole group, generally speaking, I don't know how ready that most of those teams are to winning right now. Now, sure, I can make an argument. Chicago, I feel really good about their chances with two guys in the top 10. They've invested this offseason. Yep. So Chicago, I think, has got a chance to be a playoff team. Chargers now, I think, is really intriguing at five. Like, new regime, different wide receiver crew. They already got the quarterback. So how far is that team? The Giants, like, look, I'm a Giants fan. Suk, I don't know if you realize that. I'm from the Northeast originally.
Like,
yeah, I know. It's a little tough sledding here. Some would argue, hey, the G-men want to move up to grab a quarterback. Yeah. I would say, hey, you got a lot of holes. Like, would one of those wide receivers be an impact to a Daniel Jones who hasn't had a stud wide receiver the last couple of years? Like, you could make that argument. So generally speaking, in my mind, Atlanta's got to feel like in that division, they're really close. You know, the Jets, you know, we've joked about that. I don't know which direction you think the Jets go. Like, people are talking about Brock Bowers going there. You know, some would say, hey, offensive line, like, you got to shore that up, making sure, you know, Aaron Rodgers is able to play more than just a couple snaps to start a season. So I'm with you. I think each team has to assess what they have, where they're at with their current roster, and what they think they could be this season.
This, you brought it up in the Brock Bowers. I've seen Bowers everywhere from, you know, 10 all the way down to 20. This is the one I don't get. In a league, especially if you've got a young quarterback. I know that the Jets wouldn't fall into that, but even with a, that you're trying to protect, so much of this game is won now. Play action pass, under center, yep. Control the middle of the field. Look at what Laporta does. Look at what Travis Kelce does. Look at Mark Andrews. Like, we all fall in love with the outside receiver, but the slot receivers and the tight ends are driving this league right now. And I do not recall, no offense to Kyle Pitts, no offense, I have never seen in my 20 years of doing this what I consider to be a better prospect tight end than Brock Bowers. Why isn't he getting more love?
I have no idea.
I love it.
Especially,
I love it.
How can you not? I mean, look, a year ago, that tight end class in the draft was as good as we've seen. And I'll just quote, you know, Jeremiah on this one. I think he said it was as good of a tight end class as he's ever seen before,
yes.
Or at least in the last 10 or 15 years, right? Like, you can put a disclaimer on that. I think it's pretty accurate based off of what we saw a year ago.
Sure.
And I'll tell you this. You talk to most people in NFL circles, and they'll tell you that Brock Bowers would have been the first tight end off the board in last year's draft. That's how talented this guy really is. So to your point, I don't know why he's not necessarily getting more attention. I don't think he falls outside of the top 10. I think there's a team that feels like they are so close, right? And maybe it's I'm spitballing here, Cincinnati.
Sure.
Cincinnati goes, you know what, like, yo, we could use a dude like that. How do we make that happen? How do we move up? Because if you're fringe, you know, 11, 12, sort of in that range, like, you got an opportunity. And here's, you know, look, the draft is going to play out how it's going to play out. But let's just say hypothetically, the first four or six of the first 8 to 9 picks are quarterbacks. That changes the complete complexion of this entire thing, because all of a sudden a team like, I don't know, Minnesota, let's say they can't move up, or Denver can't move up. If they don't get that quarterback that they need, they might be willing to move down in the draft, right? Collect some of those picks and assets and allow a team like Cincinnati at 18, for example, or pick any team that's, you know, wants a tight end like that or feels like they are close to move up and swap one of those picks to go and get a difference maker.
Yeah. Like, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts and I've got a young quarterback that maybe struggles to read the field a little bit, coming off an injury, and his best friend is going to be a run game, play action pass, whatever it takes for me to get Brock Bowers, sign me up. That is a security blanket for any quarterback, whether you're talking about a team ready to contend or, again, a young player, a young quarterback that you're trying to grow and develop. It can absolutely be his best friend. I know we got to cut you loose here, but give me, of all the quarterbacks, there's always one, we do this every time where we fall in love with quarterbacks, there's going to be one that slides, whether it's a couple spots or all the way down. Who do you think, if we're talking about the five potential first round quarterbacks, who do you think is the guy that maybe ends up slipping a bit?
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, well, I don't know how you feel about the order, but we'll just throw Caleb, Jaden, Drake May, Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. So if there's six dudes, I think it's probably Bo, but I'm going to be honest with you, Zook. Like, I don't think he falls out of the first round.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be such a run of quarterbacks early, and because teams need that guy, I mean, there's legitimately 7 or 8 teams that I think could make an argument to go and draft it. And the reality is I just name-checked 6 of those quarterbacks. So I think Bo, if he, and I'll use the quotes, the air quotes around slides, I think he's still a first round pick.
Yeah. It's going to be a very, very interesting draft. Cause like, anytime quarterbacks are involved, you know, there's going to be a run on them. You know, there's going to be movement and trades up and down.
Sure.
I think we're going to get a very, very active first round of the NFL draft, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. And like I said, it's always good to be with you, dude. So next, I don't know, post draft, let's do this again.
Absolutely. He's Mike Yam. You can find him on the NFL Network. And again, I want to recommend it. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find it on Amazon. Fried Rice and Marinara, and I thought you would enjoy this. This comes to us via our Vancouver Ford text line that came in while we were talking. I'm Korean. My wife is blonde and blue eyes. Fried Rice and Marinara has been read and beloved by all 3 of my kids. That one from P1 Rufio. So
yes!
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's amazing.
For you.
Yep. I appreciate it. By the way, it's animated and it's on YouTube right now. And that's totally free. So it's an animated version. And the group that did it is a company called Vux, which is Portland based. I got connected with them because of our good friend Lamar Hurd with the Portland Trailblazers. There's some Oregon State ties that are there as well. So a local Portland company that's trying to kill it right now, and they're crushing it. They're doing an awesome job with animated children's stories. So
very cool.
Encourage the people to check that out.
Go check it out. Get the book. Check it out on YouTube. And again, find them on NFL Network. Yammer, one of my favorites. Always appreciate catching up with you. And let's do it again after the draft.
Anytime, man. Take care.
There you go. One of the really, really nice guys in the business. And when we come back, we'll touch upon some NFL draft stuff, kind of some thoughts of there, what we were chewing on. And before we head into Club 1080, here, though, Buck with SportsCenter.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.